Last week, I preached about the unclean spirit, which manifested into a man inside the synagogue where Jesus was teaching. Jesus silenced the unclean spirit and drove out of the man. This was Mark's first account of Jesus' miracle of driving out demons after he called his four disciples, brothers Simon and Andrew, as well as James and John. Today we'll continue on Mark's narrative of Jesus healing many people at Simon's house, starting from verses 29 to 39 of the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, as it has just been read to us. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for the privilege and joy of being here today. Lord, we come before you acknowledging that you are the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. You never grow tired or weary, and your understanding is beyond measure. We recognize that it is not by our merit, but by your grace and invitation that we can enter your presence. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word proclaimed and to receive the sacraments. Speak to us through the preaching of your word, that it may penetrate deep into our souls, convicting, comforting, and guiding us. As we partake in the sacraments, may this be a tangible reminder of your grace in the intimate relationship we have with you through Jesus Christ. Renew our strength like the wings of eagles, that we may soar above our circumstances and find hope in you. For our strength does not come from our efforts, but from relying on you. The mighty and victorious God, teach us to wait and place our hope upon you, knowing that those who trust in you will never be put to shame. For you are our ever-present help in times of troubles. In Jesus' name, amen. To fully appreciate Jesus' role in this in our passage today, let me read to you the scripture which I recall was the sentence of a scripture when I did my first leading 3 years ago. I was in awe and nearly cried when I read the scripture and thought, what? Did Lindley arrange this schedule for me? It was so amazing for me. Glory to God. The scripture I was referring to was Luke's narration of Jesus reading what the prophet Isaiah wrote of him around 600 years before he came as a man among us. Jesus stands before the synagogue in Nazareth and reads from the scroll of Isaiah proclaiming, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." In these verses, Jesus declares the purpose, his purpose as Messiah. Jesus boldly announced, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," referring to himself as the one who would bring this to pass, but in a way that the people would not yet be able to grasp. Jesus' proclamation features his mission to bring salvation, freedom, and restoration to all people. He came to release us from the bondage of sin, to bring spiritual as well as physical sight to the blind, and to proclaim God's favor upon humanity. He was the Word referred to us by the psalmist who was sent to heal us and deliver us from destruction. Clearly, it was evident that Jesus was familiar with his role in coming into the world, boldly putting it into action. Leaving the synagogue and went to the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John, where Jesus was told that Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with fever. Jesus reached out to her, took her by the hand, and lifted her, then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. In Luke's record of this same event, Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. This once again confirmed that Jesus used his authority to perform his miracle. The instant healing of Peter's mother-in-law made her get up immediately and begin to serve them. It didn't say here, but perhaps she served them with food or maybe something that is related to hospitality. So Peter's mother-in-law has a great ministry too, using her gifts, doesn't she? In verse 32 to 34, it says, that evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. All of this came about because, if you recall, while in the synagogue earlier that day, Jesus preached there with power, and the confirmation of that power was the demon being cast out of a man. As a result, Jesus became a trending sensation throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. That is why even at sunset, people rushed to see Jesus bringing their sick or demon-possessed relatives. They don't want another night of illness or demon possession. There was a desperate hunger for an immediate recovery, restoration, and deliverance among the people. And they wanted to take advantage of Jesus' presence among them that evening. Jesus impacted the whole city by witnessing the extraordinary power and authority of Jesus. He healed many people with various diseases, demonstrating his ability to restore health and well-being. Moreover, Jesus cast out many demons, setting people free from spiritual bondage. His command over the spiritual realm silence the demons, preventing them from revealing his true identity. And then we see Jesus rising early in the morning, going to a solitary place to pray. Despite his divine nature and the demands and pressures of his ministry, he still has to pray, giving importance to seeking communion with his Father. If Jesus prayed, we too need to pray, setting aside a time dedicated to prayer, seeking God's guidance, strength, and wisdom. Prayer deepens our relationship with God and aligns our hearts with his purpose. After realizing he is not with them, the disciples searched for Jesus to inform him that everyone is looking for him, stressing the demands and expectation from the people. But Jesus remained focused on his mission, despite his popularity and the people's persistent requests. Similar pressures may exist to the expectations and demands of others around us, But we have to follow Jesus' leading and stay focused on our goals, seeking God's direction above everything else. Jesus reminded his disciples that his ultimate mission was to proclaim the message, and so they needed to go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Just as Jesus had a specific purpose in his ministry, we too have been called to share the good news of salvation. Our lives should reflect a commitment to proclaiming the kingdom of God in our words and actions. We are called to share the hope and love of Christ with those around us, pointing them towards salvation and reconciliation with God. In Genesis chapter 3, the writer records these words of God: "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Jesus has delivered a decisive blow to the head of the serpent, which represents Satan, symbolizing the defeat of Satan and his power. Jesus' victory would not come without a cost, since the serpent would strike the heel of the offspring, indicating suffering and sacrifices that Jesus would endure on the cross. This was certainly done when Jesus took our sins and then triumphed over death by his resurrection from the dead. But this may have a future fulfillment too, for we have an ongoing battle we face as believers. As members of the body of Christ, we are united with him in his victory over sin and the powers of darkness. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, redeemed, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to live transformed lives. Despite the defeat of Satan, we still face challenges and temptations in a fallen world which, if we are not careful or prayerful enough, could result in our destruction for lack of knowledge, as Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 states. The Apostle Peter warns us to be sober-minded and vigilant as the devil continues to disrupt our faith. However, we have the assurance that we are equipped to withstand and overcome these attacks with God's armor and the Holy Spirit, providing guidance and strength. Our struggles and trials do not define our ultimate victory in Christ, but they can refine our faith and bring us to greater spiritual maturity, from glory to glory. As I end, there was a story of a sheep farmer in the countryside. One of his sheep unknowingly found a hidden trap in a field near the road, entangling its legs and preventing it from moving freely. One of the farmer's friends saw this fate of this sheep and called the farmer. The farmer rushed to rescue and found his sheep lying with strings tied to its legs. The farmer rushed to cut the strings with a knife, but despite the strings being cut off, freeing its legs from binding, the sheep didn't move, as if it was still bound by entanglement. The farmer realized that physical freedom alone was not enough to restore the sheep's spirit. He carried the sheep and then allowed the sheep to stand on its own. And that's the time the sheep realized he was free. Many of us sometimes find ourselves bound by past hurts, insecurities, fears, unbelief, or illness. That the true shepherd's love and guidance can help us break free from these invisible restraints and experience true liberation. Negative confession is one of the most common deterrents to our total freedom, which negates what Jesus had already purchased, healing for us. In God's embrace, we find the strength to let go of things that hold us back and the courage to walk in the fullness of His purpose for our lives. Will you be able to say, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed, despite your ill feelings? If you cannot see it, you have to renew your mind, which involves a change in your thinking patterns, perspectives, and attitudes, aligning them with God's truth and will. If Jesus heals during his time, so is he today. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. This offers comfort and assurance, knowing that Jesus' saving and healing power is available to us today, just as it was in the past and will be for all eternity. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for your words that we can take comfort in the truth that we belong to Christ. And his victory is our victory. We trust in his faithfulness, drawing near to him in prayer, studying his words, and leaning on the support of fellow believers as we navigate the challenges of life. In him we have the assurance of ultimate triumph and eternal life. Empower us to live a life that reflects the character of Jesus, both in our actions and in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.